wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. And then he concludes that hymn with, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." You understand that? Oh, that we might give him our all. Have you done that? We sing, "All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being, ransom powers. All for Jesus." You have opportunity to seek the Lord. Years ago, well, I guess it's so today as well, people have come for that sole purpose, to seek the Lord. They wanted more of the Lord. They wanted to find him. They wanted to know his will for their lives. And so they came to seek him. And he desires that we seek him because he wants to be found of us. Kenny Friedman said he used to hide in a closet when he had these small children. He wanted them to find him. That was his desire. Let them seek and let them find. And the Lord wants us to find him and to find his will for our lives. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a reason for me and for you. God wants to set us into his will where we might serve him and obtain his grace to serve as we ought. Now, how many people have gone from this place and found a place of service? And I was thinking, we have to look into the future a little bit. And God, I believe, has been calling us, calling you to a life of service and equipping you, because there's a future if the Lord should tarry. You are the church of tomorrow. You know, I told the men at the retreat that God would like to, as Epaphras prayed, and it said he labored in prayer. And I think we need to do that. I think it's essential. Andrew Murray said, "There's enough in God to meet every need of ours and set us into his will. But it takes mighty prayer to bring it down." And I've been praying for you that you find your place where God would have you to serve him, because we love him. Because we love him. And this applies not only to the younger people here, but to all of us. How beautifully it has been in Williamsburg. You know, all the old timers are gone. But God knows what he wants to do, and those whom he desires to bring in. And so he's done that. Two outstanding women have come and have been a great blessing to us. And God wants that to be so with all of us. And we ought to begin right here. Why am I here? I'm here to be a blessing, to serve those who are with me. God has some type of service for all of us. And we have been serving. We have been serving. We appreciate that. you've given yourself, and we appreciate that. But there needs to be a continuance. And as I was saying, people come here. And my wife also, as a young girl, came here to serve, and she did serve. But she came here primarily, I believe, to seek the Lord. She reminded me of, she said, I had given her something, a sort of a mat, and she found a place on Watch Rock down near the water where she could lay this and that out and then sit on it, you know, be more comfortable than sitting on the rock, and sought the Lord. And I thought it would be good if she would tell us something of her experience. I'm glad that when, before we were married, I found her working. She was busy. She was active in the work of the Lord. She had given herself to serve Him. And I found her that way. And she continued to serve. And she's served with me now for many years. So, is it all right if I call on you, honey? Yeah, I used to do that. I knew that I'd get a response. I'd call on, honey, 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 tell us something.
I did say something already.
Maybe you want to get behind that.
No, I don't. I came to camp when I was 21. Camp was only 2 years old. And I came as a secretary for the second and third year. There was no such thing, girls and others who were working, as a day off. All right? There was no such thing. It was no such thing as off for a meal. You get that right. You're off for lunch, and you get off one day for supper, and you're off a whole day. There was nothing like that. And as a secretary, there was no day off either except Sunday. Sunday I got off. I worked till 4 o'clock in the office. From 4 then till 5:30 supper was my time. All right? Free time. And that's when I would go to Watch Rock. After supper, I had to go down to the Cherub's Inn, and I had to help the counselor put the children to bed. So I really had, what, an hour and a half? That's all I had. And all day Sunday. Okay? And I took advantage of those times. But I don't want to tell you about my experiences after that, and how God called me into the ministry. But I want to talk to you about when I was 16 years old. Would you like to hear that? That's a long time ago, maybe 71 years ago. I was a teenager. Who's 16? Put your hand up. Who's 15? Who's 17? 18? 19? Oh, okay. That's the end of the teens, right? That's your teen years. But I also told you in a few meetings ago that I graduated from high school when I was 16 years old. That's because when I was in the seventh grade, they gave IQ tests. Did you ever hear of such a thing? You know what your IQ is? Do you know what it means? What does IQ mean? Your intelligence quotient up here? And if you got over 125, you were considered smart, all right? And your passing mark in classes was 70, not 65. You had to get 70 in order to pass, all right? And so they skipped me a grade. So that's why I got out of high school at 16 years old, all right? Not that I was so smart, but somehow, I don't know how they give you, a test to test your intelligence. Anyhow, at 16 years old, I was working on Wall Street. Now imagine a 16-year-old little girl working on Wall Street with a whole office full of ladies. And some of them were bad ladies. They were wicked. They told dirty jokes. They did a lot of things that weren't good. Lunch hour, they would go out and have drinks. And here I'm thrown in, a 16-year-old girl, thrown in with all these maybe 20 ladies. I wasn't like them at all. I didn't laugh at them. I didn't go with them to lunch. I didn't dress like them. My dresses were all below my knees. I didn't wear makeup. I didn't decorate my ears with earrings like the heathen do. I acted different. My body belonged to who?
Christ.
It belonged to the Lord. Because he saved me before I was even 12 years old. And so I was completely different from them. And they knew it. They knew it, and they watched me. They would say, what did you do on the weekend, Martha? Did you go to the movies? Did you go dancing? And I would say, what? No. Well, what did you do? Oh, on Sunday morning, I went to Sunday school in Pelham Bay. Sunday afternoon, I went to Sunday school in Williamsburg. And Sunday night, I went to the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church. They looked at me. You went to church three times on Sunday? I was really queer. You know, I was real. They just couldn't understand. But you know, they watched me. They watched me for 2 years. They watched me. And one day I came in, and there was about three, four of them. And as I came walking into the office, it was a big office, they said, here comes little Miss Puritan. Would you like to be called that? No? You wouldn't like to be called Puritan? And you wouldn't like your whole office to think that you're a Puritan? Shame on you. I was proud of it. You know, they were not disrespectful. They weren't making fun of me. Not at all. They were respecting me. That was my title until I left that office. Here comes little Miss Puritan. Now, could that be said of you? You know what it means to be pure?
Jesus.
Not only clean. What does it say on a bottle of orange juice?
100% pure orange juice.
This is 100% pure orange juice. Does that mean that the orange juice is clean? No. That's one meaning of pure. But the other meaning is that there's nothing added, there is nothing taken away. You are pure. Through and through. You are 100% a Christian. Now that ought to be said of all of us, no? Do your co-workers, do your friends in school say, here comes little Miss Puritan? Or here comes Miss Tall Puritan? Some of you girls are bigger than me. What do they call you? What do they think of you? Are you 100% a Christian? And you know, the world knows what a Christian should do and what a Christian should not do, right?
Yes.
Has anybody ever said to you, you've done something, and they said, and you're a Christian, and you did that? They know. There's a standard, and they know what you are. They know what you stand for, and that goes for the men as well, the boys. And so I just want to let you know that God can make you pure. God can keep you pure in your thoughts, in your words, the way you dress, every aspect of your life. You should be a Puritan. Do you agree with me or don't you? Is the standard too high?
No.
It's not too high.
No.
It's not too high. It's a goal, but you've got to begin young. You've got to begin now, okay? Don't wait till you're 25, 30, 40 years old. You do it now as a teenager. You think God can make you a Puritan? You think he can? Of course he can. That goes for men as well. They had Puritans. When they came over here, they were pilgrims, and some were called later on Puritans, right? What was the difference? I really don't know. I'm not a history teacher. But it's our prayer for you young people and for the older people that come here. There's a standard of holiness. What does it say up here? Holiness unto the Lord. There's a standard of holiness. And it costs something to come up to that standard. And God is looking for people who will be holiness unto the Lord. So I just want to leave that with you. And seek the Lord while you're here. You have time. You have time. And don't tell me I'm tired because you are claiming what from God? What? Strength. Don't go and say, I'm so tired. Shame on you. Then tell the Lord, I need strength, Lord. You're going to supply my need. You agree with me or don't you? Say yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So don't go around and say, I'm tired. Lord, I have your strength today and tomorrow. And when I go back home, I will have learned a lesson at camp to be strong in the Lord. The Lord is my strength. Why do you think I'm here today at 87 years old? Do I look tired and old and wimpy? Do I? Can I talk louder than any of you?
Yes.
You can hear me? I don't need this mic. Now you laugh. You know where I learned that? I never went to college. In our days, the boys went to college. Girls went, but very few. In Richmond Hill High School, I took a commercial course, and I was trained in all kinds of office work. Stenography, typing, bookkeeping, English. And we had a speech class. Now listen to me. We had a speech class. Any of you go to a speech class? Not because we had something wrong with our tongues. It was a speech class. We were given subjects to speak on, and we were called to the front of the room, and the teacher would go to the back of the room. We had about 40 kids in the class. She'd go to the back of the room, and when we made the speech, she had to hear us. Otherwise, we got a bad mark. She taught us how to... What am I doing? I am projecting my voice, right?
Yes.
I'm not using the voice that I talk to you, you know, privately. I'm going to have a conversation with you. All right, I want to see you after the meeting. That's your conversation voice. When you come into an audience, all of you, shame on some of you. Yes. You like whisper. You're like talking to the little girl next to you. You're talking to all of us. That man over there has to hear you. So what do you have to do? Project your voice. Yes? I'm glad you're agreeing with me. Don't be whispering. Even boys, they listen. They get up and they testify. I can hardly hear them. I know I have bad hearing. That's part of it. But that man has to hear you over there when you talk. From there, Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
So what are you going to do from now on when you testify? You're going to project your voice. Agree?
Yes.
Pardon? What did you say?
I said agree.
Agree?
Yes.
Okay, yes. No, I mean that. It's very difficult for some people to hear when you just talk like you're talking to somebody next to you. That's not the way to testify. Testify with a little enthusiasm. Okay? A little oomph.
I've lived with my mother all my life. So. Well, until I got married.
That's no excuse.
Thank you, honey. Hell yes, now we still live with them. 44 in our camp books. 44. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Called unto holiness, Church of our God, purchase of Jesus, redeemed by his blood, called from the world and its idols to bondage of sin to be free. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. Sing it, shout it. Unto the Lord now and forever. Called unto holiness, children of light, walking with Jesus in garments of white, raiment unsullied nor tarnished with sin. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. Sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness unto the Lord now and forever. Called unto holiness, praise is their name. Blessed secret to faith thou made plain. Christ within, living and reigning and saving from sin. Holiness unto the Lord is a watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord.